Well, good morning, bless you, beautiful hearts. Today is Sunday, December the 6th, 2020. This morning, I want to continue on aspects of the hope. In fact, it will be part or a continuation of Connie's teaching from last week, how we patiently wait for Christ's return. Having the hope as our subject for the past few Sundays, I don't want you to think that I'm going to go into some things regarding the end times, and I'm going to give you some special prophetic message regarding the return of Christ, just the one we know from the Word of God, from the Scriptures. You know, we've been in the end times since the day of Pentecost, and I'm not going to cover those things. The purpose and my aim is to give us all a healthy dose of truth to stimulate the lively hope within our souls. Think of it as an immunity booster against all the infectious darts or bioterrorism from our spiritual enemy, the devil and all the evil spirit realm. A couple of weeks before we read from 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from dead." Lively means we are endless in the kingdom of God, and a lot of these things are future events. But as far as God's concerned, it's already happened. It's already taken place where we're seated, where we've been raised with Christ and all of these things that has already been happening, that we should live like that now. And the purse is metaphorically means to be lively, means to be in full vigor, to be fresh, strong, powerful, enjoying true life. Being endless in the kingdom of God is our hope, but as of right now, it is future realization. Yet in these mortal bodies, we can and should be in full vigor and fresh, strong, and enjoying a true life worthy of our calling. It's like knowing and believing the love that God has for us that we read in 1 John 4:16. We know God loves us, we believe God loves us, and when we know it and believe it, we begin to live like men and women who are loved by God, tremendous things happen and great power is released. We have spent years in beloved of God, building ourselves upon the nature of God. And it's the same with all of God's promises. We build ourselves on the nature of them, and we live like they're absolute reality right now, but they won't actually come into effect until a future time, like at the return of Christ. And Ephesians 2:6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." As far as God's concerned, that is a done deal. But we should live in light of that, that we're already seated in the heavenlies. And he's made us, he did it together with Christ. So as far as God's concerned, that's already done. Do we live like God raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Well, we should live like we were already seated in the heavenlies in God's kingdom, because we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we're not of it. And that's so very important. And even though we're talking about future events, but we should live like they are real right now. In all matters of Scripture, even though they are about future things, we should live like it's a present reality. Live like we're ones who are seated in the heavenlies. when we feast on his word and we digested it and it becomes a very part of who we are, do you live each day knowing and believing you have an incorruptible inheritance reserved for you in the heavens, kept by the power of God until the actual day of redemption? It's God's already set this up, so he's got it crystal clear, and it's kept by his power, so even the devil can't get at it and change it, move it, turn it around. He raised this up in Latin. Vulgate is the word coruscito. In the medical vernacular, it means to resuscitate or to revive from being unconscious or revive someone from the dead. We were resuscitated with Christ into eternal life. When he raised Christ from the dead, he resuscitated us, and we are raised with him figuratively. And the actual reality will happen when he returns and that trumpet sounds, and we'll be in that. The Greek word hath raised us up together is synergero, from where we get the English word synergy. And a synergy in English is two or more produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. He made us sit together is sigkathizo, to cause to sit together or place together. You know, when God was laying out how this is all going to happen and we're all going to meet, he's already laid out the sitting arrangement, seating arrangement. We're seated together. So, my brothers and my sisters, please be seated. Not only is your seat reserved spiritually, you're already seated. No one's going to shine a flashlight and say, could you move down a seat? Move down. It's already been laid out by God, the greatest planner ever. For those of you who have worked on a setup crew for large gatherings, you're not going to hear, let's grab 10 more chairs, we need another row over there. It's already been planned out, and your seat is already set, and it's in Christ. Your seat is already, as far as God's concerned, that seat's filled. When God created the heavens and the earth and all the planets, they still move about in their orbits and in their courses without bumping into each other. So the greatest planner ever is in charge of everything, and it will go better than clockwork. In Matthew 20, there was a mother who went to Jesus with a pretty bold request. Perhaps we've considered her request rather brazen. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, it says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, Zippity and Dudah, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing from him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these, my two sons, may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy kingdom. She wanted special seats for her sons, a very typical mom, wanting the best for her children. She was asking for something, but that was already planned out by God, and it's already set, and we already have it in the new birth. We should not take our seating assignments for granted. Hey, I'm seated in the heavenlies, so I can go out and do whatever the heck I want. We should not be boastful about it, but we live like ones who are worthy of the assignment that we get to be seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We are raised and seated together in Christ. Everything is with Christ and nothing without him. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2 reads, "For we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The word workmanship means something that's produced with effort, object, and design. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and anything created in Christ Jesus unto good works should be his magnum opus, his super work, his craftsmanship. By design, we are to showcase God's magnificent handiwork in Christ. While in this life, we have the joy to depict the majestic brilliance of the Creator's awesome craftsmanship before those who would hunger and thirst after righteousness, presently all the brilliance is veiled by our mortal flesh. But then, voila, when the time comes, the right time, like Ephesians 2:7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The word show means to put on display or to exhibit. For the world, Jesus Christ was the display of God. He exhibited God in all that he said, all that he did, and every choice that he made, every decision that he made, and in every way his conduct, every bit of his conduct showed that and evidenced that. And at the Lord's return, after we receive our new bodies, will come the full display of the believing one's hall of fame. We're not going to be standing on a pedestal in some corner with a floodlight on us, but it will be something where the way we function as one body of Christ, working together, functioning as one. The word kindness means a moral goodness and integrity. We have God's kindness to us in Christ. We are able to live true lives, treating others the same way that we desire to be treated or that God treats us. The way in which we choose to conduct our lives is a living testament. We are the display of God's kindness and love as our conduct upon this earth is viewed. How does God look to others? Does my exhibit need some restoration? 1 Corinthians 4:5 tells us from the New International Version, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At the time, each will receive then their praise from God." They're going to receive what? Their praise from God. The word praise means approbation or commendation. "This is my beloved sons and daughters in whom I am well pleased." He knows how the adversary attacks us. He knows what things the adversary tries to trip us up with and trick us with. And each time we choose to go according to his word and represent Christ and represent his love, represent his kindness, represent his grace, represent his goodness, represent his mercies. Each of us will receive praise from God, even if it's just for getting born again, because we trusted his word. That is why we do not prematurely render judgment. Nothing is judged prior to Christ's return. That's when that judgment will be fulfilled in truth, and that's when we'll receive the praise of God at that time. Don't these truths intensify your desire to walk so crystal clear that God can be so easily seen in your life? There's a little chorus I'd like. Can others see Christ's love in me? If they cannot, then how those who are lost find their way? The rulers of the darkness of this world do not tire in their efforts to pull us away from the royal law of love, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. He always endeavors to do that. There's millions of tricks, traps, and roadblocks he sets up to try and keep us from that. But we know and believe the love that God hath to us. We know and believe we are raised and seated in Christ, so we can walk with the mind of Christ. We can be the salt of the earth. We can be that light on the hill and so shine that others can see. Then as Ephesians 6 tells us, not with thy service as men pleasers. Oh, somebody's watching me. I'm going to get back to work. But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's the heart that is judged, and no man knows the heart of man except God. No one will good works his way into God's praise. The motive of the heart will be exposed. Those works done on earth with godly motives. And God takes into account how the adversary sets traps for us and tries to confuse us and make us step in the wrong direction and make us kind of contradict what we're trying to represent. Those works done on earth with godly motives will earn the praise of our Father. Those are the things to make us well-pleasing to God. As we minister the word, we will provide a link to a previous teaching that I did entitled Live Well Pleasing and offers additional insights to you on pleasing God from the heart, doing the will of God from the heart, and for no other reason, not even for the reason of gaining future rewards, but knowing rewards await us. And that does excite our expectations while in these mortal bodies. Consider how much we can accomplish in our mortal bodies through Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:52-54. So we can look into our mortal bodies, which are coming. It will happen in a moment, in the blink or the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet blows, for when that trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised incorruptible to live forever, and those who are living will also be transformed. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. This new body is the start of our happy ever after that brings us the actualization of our incorruptible inheritance, like it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our living hope is in our living Christ, whom God raised from the dead, and whom he seated at his own right hand. The opposite of a living hope would be a dead hope. James chapter 2, verse 26, speaking of faith, talks about a dead faith. Our living hope is in our living Christ, whom God raised from the dead, whom he seated at his own right hand. The opposite of a living hope would be a dead hope. James 2:26 speaks of a dead faith, and we can apply the understanding to the hope, both living and dead. For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works or action is dead also. Dead faith is barren, fruitless, unproductive, dead. So is dead hope. In essence, our faith with genuine deeds is a living faith. By analogy, our living hope would be fertile, fruitful, productive. Our hope is lively and produces change in our present life because we know our destiny. Knowing and believing God, we are content to live as aliens and strangers upon this earth. That doesn't deter us. We patiently await the Lord's return to forever be like the Lord. We began Beloved of God Ministries out of the realization of how the church of the first century church walked with such a dynamic and such a tremendous power. 1 John 4:16 has been our cornerstone verse for the coming to know and believe the Word of God. And we have known and believed the love God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. As the first century believers knew God loved them, and they believed God loved them, they began to live like men and women who are loved by God. And things began to really change in their lives, and the way they functioned and the way they lived, it showed in that. Because they began to live like men and women whom God loves. And when you start to live that way, that perfected love removed fear from their hearts. And they evidenced signs, miracles, and wonders. Similarly, with the hope, we don't sit back in our rocking chairs and say, he's coming back. And when he comes back, everything will be perfect. And I'm just waiting for that. It kind of energizes you to want to move and want to act and want to live more Christ-like. We live like people who are convinced of our eternity with Christ in God's kingdom. We emulate God's loving kindness and graciousness that Christ displayed. We are Christ-like in our thinking. We love our neighbors as ourselves, and we love even our enemies as God loved us. That's how he changed us. What changed you? You found out that God loved you and you started to make changes. Even when we were enemies with God, Christ died for us, and the realization got to our minds, if he so loved me that way, I want to show just love him more. We emulate God's loving kindness and graciousness that Christ displayed. We are Christ-like in our thinking. We love our neighbors as ourselves, and we love even our enemies because God so loved us. Even in our temporal bodies, we win those that are seeking Christ. That is our hope in action. We have a great inheritance kept for us and crowns that are available for our hearts of service to God's glorious kingdom. Let's represent that kingdom with all the love God represented to us by his living Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, that's me. And his love like that won me. And I believe that it will win others. Let me display that kind of love. Let me show that kindness. Let me show that graciousness so that people will be one to that same God. These truths, it won me and it will win others also. We can win people if we allow that love that so engulfed our hearts and so caressed us. These truths remind me of the Queen of Sheba visiting King Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, where it reads, "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, his ascent by which he went up to the house of God, house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. The display of God's wisdom exhibited by his manner of life and the effects upon the lives of others took her breath away. You know, it just was breathtaking. You would almost collapse in awe. God in Christ in us can affect the lost the same way. Prayerfully, these considerations on the hope will continue to revive and refresh your soul with the same verve and vigor that you exhibited at your first hearing of the word of truth, when you truly believed it to be the good news of your salvation through Jesus Christ. When you heard that, it almost took your breath away. Well, that kind of love, that kind of kindness, that kind of grace, that kind of goodness, how could you doubt Jesus Christ would be anything else but the Savior of the world and the one he sent? God bless you.